Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
يا رب هل من توبة تمحو الخطايا والذنوب وتزيل هم القلب عني والكآبة والشحوب أدعوك في ليل بهيم والدمع مترارا سكين.
And so here you have the dilemma for the Muslim, under pressure. That's what I said. You're in a rock, between a rock and a hard place.
To be spying on other Muslims, haram, let's be very clear about it.
So imams know full well jihad is not wulich and jihad is not just jihad and nafs.
So what is it that we need to be clear about as a community is the way to stop, to prevent, to arrest this Western interference in our lands.
Allah says repeatedly, are you more afraid of people than you are of me? Yeah? Remind him of that. Don't you think people in this community want to know about Islam?
Such as explaining the concept of jihad to our youth, the concept of Sharia, the concept of Khilafah. Questions in their mind, be approachable, be the one, give them a leaflet, invite them to an exhibition, invite somebody to discuss with them. But be involved in engaging after village. Why do we have village? Why? There is one simple answer. It's down to what this government is doing.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He addresses us in the Quran by the A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, believers, ittaqullah, fear Allah, have taqwa of Allah, be conscious of Allah always. Wa qulu qawlan sadida, and speak words straightforwardly, directly, to the point, truthfully. يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِيعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. And the one who does that, the believer who has taqwa of Allah, who speaks straightforwardly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you your sins, make your actions correct for you, and bring you a great reward in the akhirah. I start with these words because it's a reminder to us. We're talking about the Muslim community under pressure. And when you're under pressure, you end up being forced to say things that you don't want to say or people don't want to hear. And for us as Muslims, it's important for us to remember, Allah addresses us as believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. It's a reminder to you and myself about speaking straightforwardly about these matters that frankly have brought us here today. This evening, I want to break up my talk into a few distinct sections. It's long, I'm afraid. Yeah, I'll be hard pushed to get finished in half an hour. But I'm going to give some background to what happened in Woolwich. And I have some advice. Some advice for Muslim leaders who aren't here today. People who we see on the TVs, from national organizations, very prominent shuyukh and speakers who come out and comment on these things all the time. Number one, advice for them about how to address these issues. Number two, I have advice for our Muslim brothers and sisters who are leaders at a local level, in our masajid, mosque committees, imams, khatibs, teachers in madrasas, community leaders, some advice for them on how we respond to this. I have some advice for the Muslim youth, because so much that's being talked about today is targeting the Muslim youth. And I have some advice for our Muslim youth. And then I have some advice for all of us on how we deal with the wider society, with the wider non-Muslim community that we live next door to in the aftermath of this issue. And finally, I'm going to give some advice on how we as Muslims have to view this relationship in relation to ourselves, with our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is a test on us, and we have to understand that. Sharif already mentioned about the kind of publicity that's happened. We've had speeches from David Cameron, talking about everything from madrasas to universities to the internet, whether frankly speaking it's related to what happened in Woolwich or not. And that should worry people, because that shows you already the political response is geared to address with whatever they want to address related to universities and madrasas and internet and Islamic groups and mosques and all these things, whether they have any relationship to Woolwich or not. We've already seen politicians making political capital out of it. Boris Johnson, in his article in the Daily Telegraph, which talked about the virus of Islamism, yeah, I say that deliberately because the word Islam with an ism at the end is actually nothing more than a ploy to attack Islam without attacking it publicly. What they say is, you know, we have no problem with the ordinary Muslims, peace-loving Muslims, but ... And if you think about it, can you imagine anyone writing an article, I have no problem with black people, but the ones who ... it would be unacceptable. It would be unacceptable. Yeah, they would not say that about, I have no problem with most women, but those that are blah, 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 blah. You know, this is like used often as an attack on people politically. And we should see it for what it is. Because there's a game going on, and I'm going to explain this game this evening. It's a game which is to blame Islam so that they can change Islam. And our duty will be to stand for Islam. Let's go back a few weeks. I was coming home from work about 6:30. Started getting text messages and emails saying, you know, something's happened in Woolwich. Big killing. I know the impact of this, really. When I went home and people were saying the killer, he's put something up on the web, I looked at one of the main newspaper websites. They had a link to the footage of the brother standing there with blood on his hands. Immediately, I knew this is going to be a problem for the Muslim community in this country. Immediately, you could see there was going to be an issue here. And actually, it was only by later that evening that the degree of the impact hit me. Because, and this links to my nasiha to Muslim leaders across the country. Because by the Wednesday evening, the same night, even though people didn't know the facts, all the facts, people were coming out onto the media with press releases, onto the web, making statements saying, we condemn this, we condemn this, we condemn this. And the journalists were joining in. Any Muslim they wanted to get a comment from outside a mosque or anything, do you condemn this? Do you condemn this? I could see this is going to be a problem. Now you may say, why? Why? Does he support it? Did he like what happened in Woolwich? No, I don't. But if you, we have to reckon part of this game, when somebody questions you about something, are you a violent man? Do you support the beating of women? Do you support the abuse of children? A question like that is an attack on you. It's an accusation framed as a question. And when our community leaders, with the best of intentions, came out condemning in such volume, without realizing it, they were accepting blame for the whole Muslim community for the actions of two people. And this is a disaster. Because why? It didn't have anything to do with me. Why? If somebody called me onto the TV and said, you know, will you condemn this? I'd say, why are you asking me to condemn it? I wasn't there. I didn't like it that they went there. I didn't kill them. Why do you accuse Muslims who have nothing to do with this, of this act, when you should be questioning the politicians that send those soldiers to Afghanistan to do the killing and to be killed? They're the ones that made the policy, not me. So you go and question them and not me. That's what I felt like saying. But when you come out and you say, oh, you know, I'm sorry, I condemn this, you are accepting blame collectively for this. This is unacceptable, because now the policy to deal with this is not going to be about two people that committed a crime. The policy that is going to be to do with the whole Muslim community. And you can see that. You can see that in the way the media have covered this issue. Because they've taken the whole of our community, and more than that, they've taken our deen, they've taken Islam, and they've blamed this. They've blamed Islam for Woolwich, which is unacceptable. They've blamed Islam, and we need to ask ourselves why. And then you'll understand what the problem is. This is, as I say, nasiha to our community leaders nationally. You didn't have to go out. It should have been possible for you to go out and say, yes, this was wrong. Islam doesn't accept this. Without accepting collective blame for the issue. As if there is a problem. You know, we're in our community. When do we meet people in our community? In mosques, plotting. Yeah, plotting the next act. This is the impression the media give you. That the madrasa is sitting there, and in between surahs of Quran, they're saying, right kids, you know, what are we going to plan next? That's the impression they're giving. This is a lie. And we have to wise up to the fact that this lie is being created for a reason. They want to blame Islam to change Islam. And this is how the game goes, brothers and sisters. This is how the game goes. The blamers in one corner, in your red corner, if you like. The blamers, this is the politician, majority of the politicians, I'd say there are some politicians, yeah, who are more open-minded, who actually understand what's going on, but unfortunately the majority opinion in the political classes in this society is that the more Islamic you are, the more of a threat you are. The more politicized you are, the more of a threat you are. So the solution, the plan, we have to de-Islamicize the Muslims, we have to de-politicize the Muslims, and then they'll no longer be a threat. So this is amongst a large number of politicians and the media. And this is the tabloid media especially, but actually all media. So they're the ones who blame Islam anytime something like this happens. And you've got more people jumping on the bandwagon now, these paid Muslims or paid people who come on to represent some Muslim organization or not, promoted in the media to say, yeah, yeah, you know, the real problem is this Islamism, this political Islam, these Muslims that believe in Sharia and Ummah and Khilafah and these things. These are the problem. These are the ones that go on to cause problems. So these are the blamers in one corner. And you'll see it every time, you'll see it in the future and you will have seen it in the past. Every time there is an issue that links Islam to violence especially, or to crime, they will say, they will link it to Islam, and they get these people to blame Islam, and then encourage the Muslims have to change. Islam has to reform. See, with these grooming issues you've seen in Rochdale and in Oxfordshire and these places, they're nothing to do with Islam. Islam that teaches us men and women should be separate. Islam that teaches us to cover our aura. Islam that teaches us that men and women shouldn't be free mixing socially. And they're saying, yeah, this is the cause for it. So the blamers in the red corner. And in the green corner, you have the ones who are wanting to change the deen. Right? So this is a mixture of people. The worst lot, as I say, are the ones who are paid to come up there and say, yeah, yeah, we're Muslims, and we believe Islam is the problem, and Islam needs to modernize and change to fit in with Western society. And the best of them,
are just the scared Muslims who are running, because the whole atmosphere has been created to make people scared, and they feel scared and they come out and they say, yeah, yeah, you know what, Islam is peace, and you know, we don't have anything to do with these political extremists, blah, 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 like this. Okay, that's the worst. So you've got the blamers and the changers. So Woolwich, the blamers, Woolwich, this is jihad. This is Islam causing this problem. And the changers, no, Islam has nothing to do with this, and you know, we are Muslim, and you know, these troops, they're our troops. The British troops, they're our troops. This, you've got these two extremes. So the one is blaming Islam, and the other one feels they have to profess loyalty to troops that are sent to Afghanistan and Iraq in order to clear themselves of that blame. When us as Muslims, we know Woolwich has nothing to do with Islam, and at the same time, Islam does not allow us to support the oppressive forces that go to Muslim land, occupy and kill. You can't do that. This is the game that's going on, and we have to recognize it. And if more Muslims understand this, they'll realize where this is heading for. This game to change Islam is not new. Right back in about 2002, the former Home Secretary Jack Straw, Foreign Secretary as well, he wrote an article saying we need a European kind of Islam. Right? Basically saying anything from Islam that doesn't conveniently fit with secular, liberal, Western values should be out, and anything else that fits with it was okay. And there were many politicians, writers, thinkers, think tanks, these organizations that write about these things, that wrote about this. And one of them, most famously in Britain, one called Civitas, this is what they said back in the, you know, about 2003. And this is really important to listen to this, and then you'll understand what I'm saying is not some conspiracy theory. They want to blame Islam to change Islam. They said in their report, and this think tank, by the way, really influences governments. Last one and this one. It is not enough for the vast majority of decent, peaceful, law-abiding Muslims to renounce terror in principle. Okay, so for them, it's not enough that you and me say that 9/11, 7/7, Woolwich is not right. It's not from Islam. That's not enough for them. They say, if they choose to live in Western, liberal, democratic societies, they must accept the values of liberal democracy as Jews, Sikhs, Hindus and others have done for many years. Okay? So this is very clear in black and white. It's not enough for a Muslim to be non-violent or even to be against these illegitimate acts of violence. A Muslim has to become westernized in order to be an acceptable Muslim in today's day and age. And even more than that, this was not an agenda which was just related to Muslims in Britain. Many of these writers were writing in the States or in Europe, and they were talking about the whole Muslim world. They're saying, frankly, you know what? We don't mind if the Muslims want to pray or have beards or these things in their countries, but that's the limit. They should not use Islam in the law, in the governance, in the economy, in any of these areas. And their extensive report said that. Go and look at the RAND Corporation in the United States, a report called Civil Democratic Islam, written in about 2003, very clear in black and white, talking about the whole Muslim world. And they said, you know what, we need to take the ones who are more westernized and secular and make them powerful, and the ones who are more Islamic, we need to thump them down. And the ones who are kind of in between, a little bit Islamic, we need to push them in a direction that makes them more westernized and against Islam. So that will explain to you why some of our brothers from organizations like the Muslim Brotherhood, who struggled against dhulum for decades, went to jail just for talking about Islam and carrying Islam. When they came to the West on asylum for 10 years, 20 years, but then went back to places like Egypt or Tunisia, they ended up denying that Islam should be part of the governing structure of the future of Egypt or Tunisia. Those people who believed in that, who went to jail for that before, yeah, they ended up saying, no, this is for another decade or another century. This is why in the media, when you hear them talking about Syria, especially today, watch what they say about Syria. The Muslims in Syria, they
rose up because they have a tyrant ruling over them. They were being killed, they were being oppressed, their children were being tortured, their women were being raped. What could they do? So they rose up peacefully to protest, and in the end they had to fight back because the army was attacking those protesters. So when they fought back, what did these brothers and sisters do? They named their brigades with the names of Islam. Salahuddin, Khalid ibn Walid. They used the flag of Islam that they lie in the media and say this is the flag of Al-Qaeda, when it's the flag of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they used that. They had open expression of their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they said, Qa'idna lil abad, Sayyidina Muhammad, our leader forever is Sayyidina Muhammad. This is the people, the ordinary people from Syria. So what do we notice after a few months? Media saying, oh, Al-Qaeda is in Syria now. Oh, the extremists are going to take over now. And some of those Muslims, openly they said, you know what, if Allah gives us the strength, and we resist these zalim rulers, and Bashar Assad is gone, and his regime is gone, we will establish an Islamic state like the Khilafah in Syria on the method of prophethood. And you know what? Even for the non-Muslims, they'll get the justice under Sharia because Islam gave them that before. And they said all of these things. Yeah, and even then, no, Al-Qaeda has come to Syria. So now you can understand it. It's not just a local game. Anything that is to promote Islam is the thing that is they want to deal with. They want to change Islam. They want to blame Islam to change Islam. So my advice for our national Muslim leaders is be very careful. Very careful. Because when you sit down at a table with a politician, and they want to talk to you about how you go forward, and they want you to compromise your Islam a bit, and they say, you know what, if you compromise your Islam a bit, we'll give you a few more. Remember the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who says, بَعْدَ عَوْضُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَلَا تُطِيِّ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. So don't obey those who deny and lie about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His message. Don't obey the deniers. وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ. They wish that you would compromise, so they will compromise. Allah saying, don't do that. Even when the Prophet ﷺ was in Mecca, and he was severely oppressed, and his Sahaba was severely oppressed, and he took assistance from non-Muslims like Abu Talib, his uncle. He never compromised the deen. He never compromised his call. They said to him, you know what? You can carry on talking about Islam, just don't attack our idols. He said, no. You can put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left. I will not stop making this da'wah. Yeah, and nowadays what? You know, if you give me a mosque extension in one hand, and you know, a bit of extra financial help with the other, you're anybody's. Is that what we've become these days? So remember this, is the game, right? And you have to stay steadfast. So my second message is to those Muslim leaders in our mosques and communities. Brothers and sisters, remember this. This government has a strategy called its prevent strategy, right? This is its anti-extremism strategy in this country. It comes to you in your mosques and your madrasas, promising you money if you toe the line, and threatening you with police visits that you're going to be labeled an extremist if you don't. That's how it works. And what they're saying to you is the more political you are, the more Islamic you are, the more of a threat you are. So don't talk about politics, don't talk about those aspects of Islam that are a problem. And they name them, Boris Johnson named them, Khilafah, Sharia, Jihad, Siyasa, Ummah. These ideas in Islam, right? They name these things. So don't talk about these. Now, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, those of you who are involved in teaching or in mosques or in community centers, just think about this for a second. If you don't let these discussions about these issues happen, regardless of the fact it's a betrayal of Islam, because these are part of the deen of Islam,
every much as salah, tahara, fasting, hajj. These things are every part as much of Islam, regardless of the fact that this is a betrayal of part of the deen of Islam. Think about the consequences. A young Muslim is watching TV. He's seeing what's happening in Syria. He sees what happens in Palestine. He knows what happens in Afghanistan and Iraq. He wants answers. He wants to talk about these things. And we're saying to him in the community, you can't hear about or talk about these things? Isn't that madness? Why the hell do you think people go to do things like Woolwich? One imam I heard from not far from here, mashallah, may Allah reward him, spoke so honestly. He said, we are too afraid to talk about jihad, its rules, its limits these days. We can't tell our youth about these things because we're afraid we'll be labeled extremists. And he's right. That's what Prevent has done. It has created this atmosphere where people are too afraid to talk about the things that need to be talked about. How can you hope the Muslims, young Muslims, are not just going to go and Google some answer when they're frustrated or angry about something? Or just do the first thing that leaps into their mind when they're frustrated and angry about it. How can you hope they're not going to? If you don't let there be some space for these things to be discussed, you need to open your mosques. You need to open your community centres. You need to forget these threats. And you need to say, look, we need to talk about these things. We need to let people raise these discussions and give the right answers to them. Just think about the issue. You've got this struggle going on between the blamers and the changers, right? Blamers, Woolwich is jihad. Changers, jihad is just jihad on nafs. Struggle, spiritual struggle in the self. Which is, frankly, not just a lie that this jihad is just jihad on nafs. It's also stupid. Because you think that some non-Muslim is going to open up a translation of meaning Quran, he's not going to come across ayat of Quran talking about fighting, and then know you're a liar? No. These are the two extremes that you're being told. Either jihad is jihad al-nafs, or jihad is Woolwich. Our imams, our khatibs, should be teaching this ummah, what is jihad? Jihad means fighting in the way of Allah. To defend people, or to carry the message of Islam, to remove the obstacles to the message of Islam being heard, to prevent fitna, to prevent harm to other people. Jihad is jihad of the Prophet ﷺ. The noble battles that he and his Sahaba fought. The trusting in Allah, the sacrifice, the chivalry, the bravery. The rules, the etiquettes that said when Rasulullah ﷺ used to send people out into battle, he used to say to them, go forward in the name of Allah. Don't kill an old person. Don't kill a child or a young person. Don't kill women. Don't transgress the limits or steal. And reconcile and behave well. For indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who do good.
Takbir!
Allah!
Takbir!
Allah!
Takbir!
Allah!
Shouldn't our masajid, shouldn't our communities be raising the understanding of jihad fi sabilillah from just the actions of a couple of individuals in a street to the idea that Allah gave for it, which was actually not meant to be for any individual or for any group? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفًّا كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ. Allah loves those who fight in the way of Allah in ranks, as if they are a solid structure. When do people fight like that? In an army of a state. Jihad fi sabilillah was jihad which was revealed to mainly for being fought by a state to defend people. Surely you should not hide that. Surely you should teach the ummah that. Otherwise, our communities are complicit in what happens in places like Woolwich. Actually, these two guys are victims of our failure to educate our Muslims about what is jihad. And unless we open these spaces to teach people and talk about these things,
frankly speaking, you are gonna let, we are going to let down a whole bunch of other people on these issues. So my message to community leaders at a local level is open up spaces for these discussions. Don't fall for the threats and the bribes of the prevent strategy. My next message is to Muslim youth. Any Muslim youth here?
Yeah.
Apart from Sharif and Taji. Taji is going to talk to you later. I've heard his talk. It's sick. For those of you over the age of 35, that means it's good. Not that you need a bucket. To my young Muslim brothers and sisters, I say this. You know when you watch the TV and you see the news about the Muslim world, or you get these emails that show you pictures of the victims of Assad, or victims of some Israeli shell, or victims of British and American foreign policy in the Muslim world. A person gets angry, and they tell you here that's called radicalization. I say that anger, outrage, upset, tears is the right emotion for someone who sees that. I say that to my Muslim brothers and sisters, my young Muslim brothers and sisters. If you feel angry, you are right to feel angry. But Islam came to tell you how to act or not to act when you feel anger. A Muslim does not rush from feeling a problem to action without thinking. And part of that thinking is, what did Allah and His Messenger say on any issue before you act? You are not helping if you just act in a way that is emotional. It is right to feel that pain. It is wrong to act just because of that pain. Islam gave a way to deal with this. Islam gave a clear methodology for change, a clear method of how to end this sort of thing. And it does not involve taking a meat cleaver onto the high street. Islam gave a method of how to change. It does not involve joining the local council or the local Labour Party or any of this rubbish either. These are the ways that people say you can go. Either they'll say, you know, yeah, we need to take our revenge, we need to stand up, this, all this stuff. Or people will think, yeah, no, there's a system here, we need to go through that system. Rubbish. These are not the ways. Islam gave a method for change. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his own Mubarak eyes, saw his companions being tortured in Makkah, in front of his eyes. And he stuck to the same method of work. Political and intellectual work. To establish an Islamic state. And he then used that state and its armies and its forces to defend the Muslims and to help the Muslims. If you want to see the suffering of the Muslims across the world helped, if you want to see the effects of American, British or any foreign policy stopping the oppression and dhulm of Muslims, work according to the prophetic method, the Sharia method of revival to establish the Islamic state, and let that state look after, as the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Imam al-Junnah, innam al-Imam al-Junnah, yuqatilu min wara'i wa yuttaqabi. Only the Imam is a shield. Only the Khalifa is a shield from behind whom you fight and behind whom you defend yourself. That is the method for change. Anyone that tells you otherwise is not following the Islamic method for change. And I urge you, my young brothers and sisters, understand that. Learn more about your deen. The more you know about Islam, the more you will understand what is the right way of action and what is the wrong way of action. And I'll also say this. You guys are growing up in a climate where, actually, understandably, with this media onslaught on Islam, there is a lot of suspicion out there. Okay? It's not surprising if somebody who's watching the news starts to suspect a Muslim. Alright? I'm sorry to say that. Not because Muslims deserve to be suspected. No. But because we're being beaten up and slandered in the media. Right? So there's hostility out there. At best, people will be suspicious. At worst, they're abusive or assaulting our sisters or elderly or damaging masajid and these things. Right? That's the atmosphere that you're growing up in. You can't pick and choose which bits of Islam you like. You can't say, you know what, I'm a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says jihad fi sabilillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says have to work for khilafah according to prophetic method, and then there'll be an army and then it will do this. You can't pick and choose that part of Islam and leave other parts of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kafa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh, you believe, enter into Islam completely and perfectly. All of it. So the same Sharia that says that the Muslims in Afghanistan or Iraq or Palestine who are fighting to defend their land, their honor, their lives is a legal action. The same Sharia that says that is a Sharia that says that when you're living in a society under the security of that society, you owe it to the people of that society. The sanctity of their blood, their lives, their honor, their property, and their belief. And Hizb ut-Tahrir said this in a booklet brought out in 2002, addressed to Muslims in Europe about living here. They said, if you're living here, you can't harm a person. You can't steal their property. You can't dishonor their women. You can't abuse their faith. The same Islam that teaches you about khilafah, Sharia, jihad, siyasa, ummah is the same Islam that teaches you about this. And you can't separate it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعْدَ عَوْضُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمْ خِيَرَةٌ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. It's not for any believing man or believing woman. When Allah and His Messenger have decided a matter, that they should have any choice about it after that. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, he is clearly strayed into error. So my message to Muslim youth, learn about Islam, ask about these issues, and understand what is the prophetic method for change, and join that work. Brothers and sisters, to all of us, we're living here, right? And we see our deen slandered and blamed and abused day in, day out in the media. Allah has ordered us, regardless of that, even if they presented in the media a beautiful image of Islam, Allah ordered you and me to carry this message of Islam. عُضُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمُعَيْذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Allah said to you and me, call to the way of Allah. Call to His way. With hikmah, with wisdom, and the best arguments. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And debate with them in ways nicely. The best ways. That's your and my duty. What are we doing about that? And we sit here and we think, oh, you know, the EDL, that's scum, they're out there. Yeah, they are scum, and they are out there. And they are adding to the whole pressure on the Muslim community. But what are we doing? And believe me, what we're doing, if you think actually going out there to stand on the other side of the road to them is the answer, it's absolutely not. About 1 month before Woolwich, they were reporting that the EDL was about to break apart. So many people had lost interest in it, so many people had... They are a hopeless organization that was on their way to dying. They stood out on the streets in the middle of a town center, right, shouting at policemen. And how stupid did they look? Yeah, shouting at policemen. And the thing that gives them life is when, at the other side of the policemen, there are 10 Muslims, 10, 20 Muslims, 100 Muslims. That gives them, right, we've got to get out here. That is not the way you're going to deal with this scum, actually. You're not. Because some of them, actually, you know, the word for these people is jahil, they're ignorant people. And if you want to see how people deal with them, in Holland, one of the nastiest parties is the party of Geert Wilders, the guy who so much slander and abuse against Islam, against Rasulullah, against the Quran, his deputy embraced Islam this year. He went to Medina and he cried with tears, begging forgiveness that he had abused Rasulullah. This, and you know, regardless of the EDL, the people, there are people here that are really confused. There are many people in this society who just, they think, look, you know what, they can't all be bad. That's their way of thinking. There are plenty of people, there are people here who hate Islam, no doubt about it. And they're mostly ignorant people. They hate Islam because they don't know anything about it. And then there are people here who are just very confused and have a view that, you know what, I just don't understand. They can't all be bad. Yeah, and they may have some personal contact with Muslims as well. Your job and my job is to carry this deen of Islam to them. Answer their questions. Answer the difficult questions. These posters at the site, these dawah packs at the site. Our brothers and sisters up and down the country, they've done exhibitions the last few months. 12,000 people in Birmingham came through one masjid. Our own Muslims learn about Islam and non-Muslims learn about Islam. And they weren't afraid, mashallah, they talked about everything. The belief, the Quran, Rasulullah, our manners, our morals, our dress code, how men and women interact with each other, jihad, politics. They were not afraid to discuss even the forbidden subjects. Yeah? And why? Because people want to know the answers to those things. And again, government policy, no, nobody must talk about this stuff. You need to make the mission of this ummah in this country. It's an urgent, never before has the time been more necessary for us to go out there and answer people's questions and invite them and to know more about this deen. And why, even explain nicely why we're bothered by these policies. You don't have to agree with Woolwich to be able to, and you certainly don't have to agree with Woolwich, you certainly don't have to agree with opening your mosque to celebrate British troops, to be able to say to people, look, this is why we're bothered by what's happening, and give them some reality. Most of them are ignorant about what's happening. My final message, I said, was for all of us. I started with these ayat of Quran. They, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطيع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. Allah has said, speak, fear Allah, speak straightforwardly, and He will make our actions correct. He will forgive us and give us success in the Akhirah. But in the ayat that comes after this, Allah explains to you and me why we have these tests. لِيُعَذِّبَ اللَّهُ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكَاتِ وَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah is giving us a test so He can separate us out into two camps. Those that stick held steadfast to His deen, who listen to His command, who follow it kafa, completely, not just piecemeal, who speak frankly, who speak honestly, who speak with hikmah, who don't lie and deny about their deen, and who don't do stupid crazy actions on the street. And those people who forget their deen, who betrayed their deen, who denied the deen of Islam. And to one group, to that group, Allah in the Akhirah, He will punish them. And the other, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. And for the believers, He'll turn to them in mercy and accept our repentance. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. It will seem very tough to us to stay steadfast on this Islam. It will seem very tough to us. And I don't say that it's going to be easy. I don't say you won't get threats, you won't get hardship. You won't get any of these things. You probably will. But if you understand this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you realize the huge reward and bounty and forgiveness that comes with remaining steadfast on this deen, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the tawfiq to do this work. Aquli qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.